that's a big Twinkie.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is a morning somewhere for March 4th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. Be wearing the Ides of March yourself. This is Ms. Ashley Burns. How you doing, Ash?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you?
Dude, I don't know if you can tell when I was doing that intro. I literally stopped for a moment because I didn't know what year it was. It has been an exhausting couple of weeks for me. I literally almost said 2002. I have no idea why.
Yeah, I mean, 2002 is a bit of a shift, but let's roll it back. Welcome to 2002, everybody. Get out your low-rise jeans.
Hey, listen, can we talk about something? And I have to be honest about it. There are certain fashion trends when they come back around, I feel compelled to say, I don't like them. And there's one right now that's back that I'm not a big fan of.
Go ahead.
And that is high-waisted pants. I don't like high-waisted pants. And people are wearing high-waisted pants.
High-waisted pants have been back for a while. I feel like what you actually have a problem with is like the baggy jeans and stuff.
Yep. Yes. They all go together.
I'm over here. I'm loving it because I can actually move for the first time in a decade.
It might be entirely my problem. I'm kind of worked up right now. Scott, my buddy Scott, sent me this thing and it made me unnecessarily angry. No, it's nothing about pants. He sent me a clip on Instagram and said, look at this guy. He's really funny. And it was just one of these accounts on TikTok and Instagram that does nothing original. They just take other people's content and repost it. And even more annoyingly, they make it seem like original content because they'll put like three clips, and in between each clip, they just have their dumb face like reacting to it. Not even like a reactor, but just like goofy face, and then another clip, goofy face, different clip, goofy face, final clip, and then no credit to anybody, and that's it. And then a brand deal on it. It's just, I don't know why. Those guys make me unreasonably angry.
What do you think popularized that? Do you think it was the like, it's really not that hard face guy?
People have reposted stuff constantly since the beginning of the internet. Do you remember going back to like Big Boys, which became Break.com?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they reposted everybody's stuff all the time and with no compensation. You know, if you submitted something, you could maybe get money for it, but people would submit other people's videos, like Gavin, to some of his early Slow-Mo Guys stuff before it was called Slow-Mo Guys. All that stuff got posted there. People would take Red versus Blue and post it on like Heavy.com, fucking Machinima.com. Didn't ask any permission, just threw it up there. In the case of Machinima.com, they actually ran press releases and got more business, literally saying they created Red versus Blue.
What?
Yeah. I can even link to the press release of it. Like they did some kind of thing with Sony called Pimp My Weapon. And with God of War, and it literally in the thing, it just like it's all this weasel language where they say like, "Oh, Machinima.com, the home of Red versus Blue." It's like you're not the home of Red versus Blue. They're implying they made it, that's the destination for Red versus Blue. They never had permission to put it up. They never had it. In fact, we had to years later. There was so much brand confusion that they created. We actually had to sign an advertising deal with them just to straighten all that stuff up and then cancel it. That's what we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Fucking... That's ballsy.
Yeah. That's just the way people operate. No, you're talking about Kabe, right? Is that his name? Kabe? The guy who just like watches the video and then goes, like, just do it this way. At least there's some originality there. But like there's all these guys now who watch these like life hack video on Instagram. And somebody will post a really cool life hack. And then it's always a guy that, to be honest, looks like me, you know, middle-aged white guy. And then they watch the video and they go, there's no way that works. And then they do the life hack and they go, it works. It's like, yeah, just that they already made the videos showing it worked. We don't need your dumb fucking face to tell us it worked anyway. I'm all worked up over nothing. I'm worked up over nothing.
You are worked up.
Anyway, I'm off this high horse. I'm done. I'm over. Gone. Done.
Well, it's been an eventful weekend in a lot of other ways. so a little while ago, when we were talking about the Xbox games coming to different platforms, one of the games was Hi-Fi Rush. And I think we both mentioned that we didn't really know anything about this game. And there was immediate response, of course, you should, from fans of the game, you should play this game. You'll love this game. And so I've been checking it out a little bit. And it everybody's right. It's great. It's if I had to put it in perspective, I would, you never played Crypt of the NecroDancer, but do you remember when I was playing that?
No. Is that like a Dance Dance Revolution turn-based game or something like that?
Sort of, yeah. It was like a rhythm-based dungeon crawler game. They actually did a version of it for Zelda as well called Cadence of Hyrule, and where you fight to the beat of the music. And so this is like that kind of idea, but then mashed together with, I would say, the sort of the visual like vibes and aesthetics of Sunset Overdrive. It was very colorful, very like punk, very, you know, has fun with the future and lots of robots and things. So I've been playing it with Finn, and we finished the game and we had a great time. Hearing him describe the game is like a fever dream. But it's, you know, he has it very accurate. He goes, you fight to the beat.
We have a clip of that. Are you okay if I play it?
I am.
Okay, here's Finn describing Hi-Fi Rush.
Hey, Dad. My mom has a game called Hi-Fi Rush, and it's a game where you rush to the beat of music and fight bad guys. So it's all of the enemies, and the bad lady is the one.
Okay, very cute. I don't wonder if that's cute to anybody else but us, though, Ashley. I wonder if that's cute.
Well, in the same way that, like, yeah, like everyone looks at their kid and thinks it's like this is a beautiful kid. I sometimes look at old, like there's like awkward phase pictures of Finn, and I remember when he was going through the awkward phase, and I was like, oh, he's the handsomest boy in the world. And I look at them now, and I'm like, whoa.
Another thing Scott sent to me was a video of eggs wrapping. And he goes, look, he made these eggs wrap. And I'm like, he didn't make the eggs wrap. That's like one of the oldest videos on the goddamn internet. It's like sunny side up eggs and their mouth is, man, but so I don't know why this is bugging me so much today. It's bugging me. You know what's, I'm talking about stuff that's bugging me. You know what else is bugging me?
Oh boy. It's going to be that. What's bugging you?
My pet peeve day. Pet peeve day. So they changed the name of the new Superman movie, Superman Legacy. And you know what they changed the name to?
Superman. I wondered if this was going to get you. I thought that it might, because we just talked about this, where that you don't like it when someone will take an entry in a franchise and then be like, no, this is just the franchise now.
Right. And they do it sometimes with technology stuff, too. Like, I think they did it with the iPad one time. Like, guys, this one is so revolutionary and so different from all the others. We're just going to call it iPad. Or now this is the Batman. It's not Batman 12. I think, honestly, they should be required by law to call it Batman 14, Superman 13, or whatever the hell it is, just so they know we've all fucking seen this movie before. And every time they rename it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go back and show you the origin story and all that stuff that we've seen a billion times. There's something about that. It's like an arrogance to that. You know what I mean? How
like,
Ashley?
Like, I'm going to get it right this time?
Yeah, like, this is my thing, right? I am such a visionary. I'm going to change this so much and do it the right way that I'm going to give it the name Superman, the original name. What do you think is the amount of time that should pass before they should just go back and just call it the original name if they're going to reboot it, for instance?
10 years?
Yeah, because, like, Mad Max, right? They called it Mad Max Fury Road. They didn't just call it Mad Max, but that to me would be a good example of they could have just called it Mad Max because it had been so long since the original one and it had a new cast and everything like that and really a completely rebooted premise. Nope, they called it Mad Max Fury Road. At least they gave it a different name. I just hate too because you want to go look this stuff up and you can't look it up.
Right, like instead you're going to have to look up Superman 2025.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just don't know why they do that. I think it's got to be ego thing, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, or they're like, you know, we're going, you know, this is a reboot of the franchise, and so we're starting fresh. Bernie, we're starting fresh.
You know what I did watch this weekend that I was really excited about? I was really excited to see...
Dune?
No, I didn't see Dune. I'm waiting to see that because I want to see it with JD to see if he wants to see it. But I sat down and watched. There's a new Adam Sandler movie that's on Netflix called Spaceman. And I really love when established stars do like lower budget sci-fi films. Like this is kind of definitely like a bottle movie because he's in this one ship the whole time. Like I always love when Denzel Washington did like you don't really think of Denzel Washington as being a sci-fi star, but he's got some really cool like sci-fi movies. Book of Eli being one of my favorite. And then it's really sad. One of the saddest things to me about Bruce Willis's career ending so abruptly is he was another guy. He would do like low budget sci-fi movies like Surrogates and things like that and Looper. So I always liked those movies. And this one didn't grab me. I don't know. It's I liked it, but I didn't really respond to it in the way that I think that they wanted people to respond to it. It's more like a kind of like a spiritual journey, you know, like the essence of humanity and our place in the universe and things like that. And I don't know. It just I kind of got that about 45 minutes in, and then there was about an hour or 45 minutes left, and it was just like I just kind of wrote it out to the end. Yeah.
Yeah, some of the philosophical sci-fi shows can linger a bit.
Yeah, when they hit, they hit. Like everyone always talks about that episode of Star Trek Next Generation, The Inner Light. Like people really respond to sci-fi, you know, when it hits on a really relatable philosophical level. People really, really latch on to it. And I'm sure there's some episodes of Doctor Who that are the same way, Ash.
There's an episode of Doctor Who, I can't remember the episode name, but it basically involves the Doctor dying like millions of times. And it's, you know, it's a beautifully written episode. It's really fantastic.
I like when they do that in sci-fi, when they cover an incredibly long period of time. Like if you look at Doctor Strange in the Marvel Universe, he's had a couple instances like that because in the first Doctor Strange, he basically defeats the villain by trapping him in a little mirror realm and dying over and over again. We don't really know how long he did that, but he really said, I'm going to trap you in here with me forever, even if he had to die an infinite amount of times. And then when he did the thing in Infinity War, where he explored, what was it, like 14 million plus different realities to find one where they could win. It's like, did he live through all 14 million different realities? You know, how old at this point is Doctor Strange exactly?
Right, but then also, each one was the length of a Twitch.
Actually, what he did was he went to fucking TikTok and there was one guy making goofy faces between all 14 million realities. And he just found the thumbnail where the guy was like, thumbs up.
I was like, yeah, this one. Yep, this one works.
Anyway, do you mind if we talk about some financial stuff?
No, I love it when we talk about finances. I'm great at finances.
Okay, thank you. Well, in non-dork news, Bloomberg is reporting that the frenzy around artificial intelligence stocks has blindsided Wall Street forecasters, spurring a race among strategists to keep up with a stock market rally that's already blowing past their expectations. Five Wall Street firms have already lifted their forecasts for the S&P 500 index, which is up 7% to start the year. In the past week alone, Piper Sandler, UBS, and Barclays boosted their targets, and two firms, Goldman Sachs and UBS, have done it twice since December. I've been doing the strategy job for about 20 years, and this is the first time I've ever done something like that, said Jonathan Golub, UBS Investment Bank's chief U.S. equity strategist. So things are looking up, at least according to the forecasters. And they're higher than they've ever been before. All right, the other news in the financial realm that I want to talk about, I don't know if it's financial or politics, but this was a study that came out, an estimate that everybody took and ran with. This is an article from MSNBC by Michelle Fox. The U.S. national debt is now rising by $1 trillion about every 100 days. That means every year we're adding about $3 to $3.5 trillion to the national debt, which is just wild. Ashley, can I ask you this? Just off the top of your head, do you know what the current U.S. national debt is?
No, I haven't the foggiest, unfortunately.
What would you guess?
$30 trillion?
No, you're not bad. Not bad. So we should also say that this is as of March 4th at about 6 a.m. GMT. The U.S. national debt is $34 trillion. And if we're adding about 10% a year at this point, that means we're going to be in the $45 trillion range within about 3 or 4 years. That's wild.
I mean, Bernie, that's really not much. That's not much if you think about it, though, because really that's what, like 5 or 6 Sam Altman projects a year?
Yeah, just line him up, man. He can get it done. It's a really scary number, $1 trillion every 100 days. There's so many things right now that are going on, Ashley, in the world that are all just like all these different ticking clocks, you know, with climate change and AI and the growing national debt. It is unsustainable, but the question is, when does it become completely unsustainable? And when does that cascade down through the rest of the economy?
Yeah, and what is that correction going to look like?
What is that correction going to look like? Yeah, and is correction even the word that we're going to use when
that
happens?
Well, I'm using correction in the stock market sense where they're like, oh, it's a correction. I'm like, you mean it went down a bunch?
To put this in perspective, Ashley, according to the CBO, the United States GDP will increase steadily over the next decade from $26.24 trillion in 2023 to $39.23 trillion in 2033. So right now, we're about to go underwater for what the projections are for the GDP 10 years from now, essentially, because we're about to go under $39 trillion in the U.S. national debt.
Well, look, you don't go around having the size of the military the U.S. does without spending a lot.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is the U.S. is one of the countries that's doing well after the pandemic, you know? But what's it being fueled by? Is it being fueled by, you know, all these things that are driving the national debt as well, you know, because we're running these massive deficits. It's just wild. And what's crazy to think, too, is it was as recently as the late 90s, we ran a surplus under Clinton and Gore. We were running a budgetary surplus, and they had a plan to eliminate the national debt by, I think it was like 2011 or 2012. And that, as we know, that just did not happen. Did not happen.
And
but what does it mean?
Are.
Yeah, but what does it mean? You know, what does it mean at the end of the day? Who knows? But we'll find out. That's for sure. It seems like this is the finding out decade of the fuck around century. Doesn't it feel like that to you, Ashley?
It feels like if we haven't found out yet, we're about to. It does
right.
Feel like we're on the cusp. We're on the cusp of a lot of finding out.
It's wild too how things seem to be repeating themselves too. Like even 100 years later, like I feel like here we are at 2024. Doesn't it kind of feel like the roaring 20s? You know, aside from the pandemic, which kind of matches the Spanish flu of 1917, 1918. We had a pandemic 100 years later. Now we've got this roaring stock market. We've got things like cryptocurrency, which are these new, like, incredible things that are taking over and, you know, making everyone flush with cash from investments. And then there's all these little conflicts starting to brew around the world, too. It's weird how things work, right? How things go in a cycle. Because I feel like we're having the same issues we had 100 years ago.
Yeah, we for all the ways that we're good about learning from the past, we're also great at not learning at all. If yeah. It's inconvenient, that is.
I mean, even some of the swings politically are matching that as well. You know, it's just it's a wild time. It's interesting. It's interesting. All right, let's end on something positive so people can go into their Mondays. It's Monday, everybody.
I don't have a positive, but I do have a funny story.
Go ahead.
It's funny because we're past it. So last Friday, that was a leap day. It was very exciting. Happens once every 4 years. We get a 29th day of February, everybody. So exciting. Normally, not a big deal. But New Zealand had a little bit of an issue where a bunch of their self-serve, like their fuel, their gas pumps, went out because it was leap day.
Oh, they went out because of leap day?
Yeah, so for like 10 hours, a bunch of these fuel stations in New Zealand were broken because of leap day. And, you know, you hear, like, you remember hearing all the stories about, like, Y2K and everything, where it was going to cause so many disasters and so many IT companies and all these companies were putting a lot of work into, you know, Y2K proofing everything that they could. And then Y2K came and it really wasn't an issue because everyone had worked so hard towards it. But it's so New Zealand had a tiny Y2K. It came late.
A once every 4 years Y2K. All right. Well, I hope anybody who was affected by the great gas outage in New Zealand, it didn't ruin their weekend and they were able to recover once we finally got into March. All right. Well, that does it for us today, everybody. March 4th, 2024. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.